Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Harry Douglas in for J. Will. Today, J. Will and
is the, Kwame.
A proud daddy for the third time this past weekend. Congratulations, Jay. We are joined right now, gentlemen, and we're presented by Progressive Insurance. We are joined right now on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app by Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back. Good morning, Julian.
Good morning, guys. How we doing?
Julian Love, Notre Dame non-fighting Irish defensive back, ex-defensive back.
You know, it's funny because I just looked it up. I was just wondering. So Julian Love's listed at 5'11", 195. That's basically my size, but he plays defensive back in the NFL.
Not about the size of the dog. No. It's about the fight of the dog,
and
right,
on
Julian?
On top of that, Max, when I look at Julian's body and I look at yours, it's not the same.
It's not the same thing? No. I thought it was exactly the same. Are you sure?
100%.
Right. Okay. Well,
free throw, Max.
Jeans alone.
The jeans alone, Jay. Key saw me getting ready to shoot a free throw, which is hilarious, and he says, you know, I think he's going to hit it, Jay, and then he looked at me and goes, nah, man, the jeans alone. Jeans alone told you what you needed to know. Julian, what was
that
the
has
big,
to hurt.
Yeah, it hurt. It was not good. What was the biggest key in shutting down the Packers' offense in the second half in that comeback win in London last week? And let me, before you even answer that, thank you very much. I'm a diehard Giants fan, and I've been dying hard the last 10 years. Boy, that was as good as I felt in a long time. What was the key?
Yeah, honestly, it was everyone just at halftime having composure. What was in front of us the second half? He was picking apart some of our zone looks. And so we switched to tighter coverage. And it was working. And
Julian, we're having a little problem with the cell phone reception, or the phone reception at any rate. We're going to put you on hold for a second, Julian, and get that straightened out and then bring you right back on.
Yeah, if he maybe find a hard line for some, that may
people
work
don't
out.
Have him anymore.
Well,
you know?
He can't be in the NFL with no Metro PCS now.
No, he probably no. I would think he's at the facility. What's today? Wednesday. I would think he's probably at the facility right about now. So he probably can
find a hard line.
Yeah, get a hard line.
You have a hard line in your house?
No.
I don't either.
I got. Well, I
need one though because my cell sometimes don't work.
But I unplugged all the phones because the phone will be ringing crazy times at night times.
Well, I have it because of the alarm system, but right. I don't even know the number.
Yeah, we don't have. I don't have it plugged in.
If you
in
ask
anymore.
Me what's the phone number at home, I'm like, I don't know.
I don't have a hard line at all.
I don't think the phone's ever rung, to be honest with you.
See, mine had. That's why I had to unplug them. Every last one of them.
Yeah, you get.
I had it in the kitchen and the basement.
Oh,
so
it's
I
the worst.
Both.
Yeah, see, we got in a house
for the alarm. Yeah.
For the alarm system, yeah.
You ever have an elevator in like a townhouse or something, Key? And you have to keep a phone in an elevator?
I'm not answering that, man. I'm not going to answer that.
I'm out of that conversation.
So,
damn, I don't have an elevator in my home.
All I can tell you is you're required to have a phone in the elevator, and sometimes it rings.
I plead the fifth.
Sometimes it rings.
Don't want people knowing.
Actually, the first elevator ever installed in a private house was for Keyshawn Johnson in the late 90s. He invented it.
I got a nice tax bracket, like but I ain't in that. I don't know if I'm in that bracket, Key.
All right.
Yeah, well, I think Max is just talking about his house that he had next to Elon Musk.
Yeah, oh, I did. I certainly did. We shared a fence. Oh, I was living the high life in L.A., boy. It was good times.
Oh, seriously? Are you joking?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, no, I thought you were joking.
I was there first.
Dead ass serious.
Yeah.
Have you seen Max's penthouse?
No, I don't have
a penthouse. Oh, my God.
No, stop lying.
The bedroom is the size of our studio.
See, I shouldn't even be sleeping my 3 or 4 hours. I need to stay up 24 hours.
But the thing about the Giants, though, in all seriousness, the defense has played well the last 5 weeks of the season so far. They've done a good job, and they've been coached up. They got two quality coaches, an offensive coordinator in Brian Daboll, and then Wink on the defensive side of the ball.
Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back, is back with us. Julian, what's that? Key's just bringing up the coaching staff. You guys have been written off, and God, I didn't think you were going to do anything this year, but you're playing with so much character. And so what is it like playing for that coaching staff?
Yeah, it's been fun. You know, I was saying that at halftime, everybody was very composed. I think that's something that kind of stands out to me. You know, we're down, obviously. We're not playing that well in the first half defensively. And Wink Martindale was just super composed at half and just making corrections that we need to make. And so, yeah, Aaron Rodgers picking apart his own a little bit. And so we switched to tighter coverage and just, you know, and limited his possessions in the second half. And it worked.
What's it like? First of all, Julian, you don't probably know this, and Max doesn't, and I know Harry doesn't for sure. But you were playing with my godson on the defensive side of the ball in the secondary by way, just so that you know. So when you see Darnay this morning, pop him upside the head for me.
Oh, my gosh. How do you feel about that video circulating of him?
Yeah, I know. I told him, you don't pull down your pants on the sideline, man. You have two guys, stand one in the front, one behind you.
Oh, that's
with
your
towels.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't need to be doing that like
figures.
That.
Figures. Oh, God, stop.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Will you stop?
Unbelievable.
So what's it been like playing for Brian Daboll, though? I mean, we talk about the coaching staff, but him in particular, coming over from the Buffalo Bills, what's it been like playing for him as a head coach?
Yeah, it's been good so far. Obviously, you know, we've been winning. But on top of that, when I first met him back in the spring, you know, he could care less about, you know, what you've done before. All he cared about was what you brought to the table now. And if you brought juice and brought a good attitude to the table. And so he's been great. He's been loose. He's been very receptive to how players have been feeling, which I think is important. You know, you want to run a good team, and it starts with your players. And so he's been very open and honest about, you know, with us and engaging with us. And, you know, the communication has been super transparent, which has been way different than I've experienced in previous years.
How easy is it to have a head coach that you can go to about anything? You know, you win a game, he's in the locker room dancing. Culture change, that's what we call it, man. How easy is it to play for a guy in that fashion?
It's so easy. You know, sometimes you gotta reel it back because he's quick to crack a joke before he is to coach you up on something, typically. And so you got to, you know, be wary of that and understand that, you know, he's not just, you know, like one of your boys, a friend. He's your head coach. And so he kind of navigates that line pretty well, I think. He's demanding, but also he's encouraging, which I think is that's the sweet spot for a good coach in any sport.
Julian Love, New York Giants defensive back, joining us this morning on Keyshawn, J. Will, and, of course, Max. Can't forget about Max. So, Julian, now that the Giants have turned the corner a little bit and you've had, you know, you've been here, you've been through somewhat of the losing culture with this team, how are you being treated now in New York City? Because I've been on a 1-15 team with the New York Jets in New York and not very good, but then we start winning – everything, the floodgates opened up and everybody loved us and we were the greatest thing ever. How has that changed for the New York Giants and yourself?
Oh, I mean, this city doesn't hold back for sure, especially when you're losing, as you know. And so it's been great. It's been good to drive, you know, leave your house or whatever on Monday. And you see a lot of people on the streets just walking wearing their Giants gear. There's something of a pride about that. You're excited to see the community getting involved and really supporting and cheering you on, you know, and you get invited to, you know, other New York sports games, and you know, it's a fun time when you're winning, and yeah, it's not the best when you're losing, so yeah, enjoy
Julian,
this feeling.
Julian Love, safety on the 4-1 New York Football Giants, here on Keyshawn, J. Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Jay today, ESPN Radio. Julian, a lot of people, and I'm in that group, saw Daboll go for the two-point conversion with Saquon, and it worked. And at that moment, it felt like – and people just assumed, boy, the team is going to respond to that. Take us behind the curtain a little bit here. Was that meaningful, or was that overblown by the media? But or did it do something for you?
No, I think it was meaningful. I think – first of all, you know, Daboll, before he made a choice, he asked the players what we wanted to do. He asked the captains, you know, basically, we're going to go for two. Like, do you support it? Like, what do you think? And of all of us are like, yeah, go for it. Let's be aggressive. We're not playing on our heels anymore. And obviously it worked. And, you know, in previous years, it's my fourth year on the team. In those situations, things just seem to not be going our way in recent years. We can't get over like that hump or win those, you know, those one play battles. At times, and so the hat, I think, reinvigorated everybody to be like, all right, this is different. You know, we have something going, and we got to build off of this.
Julian, your star running back Saquon Barkley, he's been phenomenal. A lot of the reasons why you guys have had success is because of the way he's performing offensively, especially coming off an injury. or two injuries the last 2 years. What has he meant to this team, and how great of a leader has he been for all of you guys?
Oh, he's meant a lot. You know, Saquon's probably the most competitive guy in the locker room in anything, whether it's ping pong, golf, just random stuff. That dude's just super competitive. And so to see him shining in the way he is, it's special. And it's all about his work and his process. You know, these past few years, that's tough on anybody mentally. And so he's had the wherewithal to push through that and power through. And so, yeah, for us to be successful, our good players have to play well. That's what we've been saying. And so that's, you know, our leader, our captain, playing well.
You know, Julian, Daniel Jones hasn't been the toast of the town. In fact, they didn't even pick up his fifth-year option, and many speculated that this would be his last year in a New York Giants uniform. What are your thoughts on the way Daniel has played this year for the G-Man?
Yeah, so, you know, Daniel and I were in the same draft class, and it's been fun to see him, you know, progress over the years. Like, right now he's doing such a good job of taking care of the ball, managing a game, and just putting us in a position to succeed. You know, when we need a drive out of them, we need points out of them, they've been getting drives and getting points. And that's all him. I mean, he's the first one in the building. He's the last one to leave. And like no, that's not that's literally he's in the first. He's the first one to get here, last one to leave. And so the work's been there for him. He's a hard worker. And so as a friend, as you know, as a teammate, you want to see him succeed, and we're happy that he's succeeding right now.
So Keyshawn played in the NFL for a long time. I played for 10 years, and we know how sometimes the locker room, you know, you have to let go some things and joke around and have fun and be guys, be boys, be brothers. Who was the funniest person on y'all's team? And can you give us a little story about something they've done funny or said?
All right, I'll say two. Adoree Jackson, our corner. I think he's one of the funniest guys on the team. And he gets everybody laughing. Yeah, man's a funny dude. And then Sterling Shepard, you know, through everything, he's our most tenured guy on the team. That dude brings the juice every single day, no matter what. And right now, obviously, he got injured, unfortunately. But he's still in the locker room, you know, controlling the music, getting everybody hype, bringing the juice. And so he's been somebody that we've needed. And, I mean, he just brings a lighthearted but also kind of a tenacity to how we go about things each day.
Julian Love, New York Giants safety. You're on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, Harry Douglas in for Jay today on ESPN Radio. Before we let you go, the Giants, I don't know what it was internally, but externally, there were not a lot of expectations for this team. This year was about, you know, new coaching staff, new regime, figuring it out, what's Daniel Jones, all this kind of stuff. But now you're 4-1. Same record as the Cowboys. Even though you lost that game, it was competitive till the end. Eagles are the only undefeated team in football. What are the expectations in that locker room now when most people would have you third in the NFC East in terms of what, you know, ranking the teams? What are your guys' expectations at this point for a 4-1 team?
Yeah, you know, it's tough when you have success early to not look ahead, to not look at, you know, kind of what's out there. Our first goal, our priority every year, no matter where we are, is to win the division. And so this year, obviously, we have some good teams right now. You know, the Cowboys are playing well. The Eagles are undefeated. They're playing well. And so that's our first priority. Obviously, we have games ahead of us. We have a good Ravens team coming in this weekend. But our eyes are always kind of on the division, seeing how they're managing. And we won the first quarter of the season, which is a good thing. And now we got to maintain win the second quarter. And then, you know, that's what playoff football is talked about in that third and fourth quarter of the season, those last, you know, eight games is when it really gets nitty gritty. So it's a process. We're just focused on this one game, but, you know, it's in the back of our mind for sure.
I mean, pitch perfect, right, Key?
Yeah, a little bit. I would, a little bit. I can work with him a little bit.
You can work with Julian?
Yeah, I can work with him a little bit.
See, Julian, I think Key should open a consulting firm in terms of how to talk to the media. I think that was pitch perfect what Julian just said.
Yeah, it was, but our first goal is to make sure that, you know, it's one game at a time. You know, obviously some tough teams in this division in Philadelphia and Dallas. And, you know, we're a young football team with a young head coach, and we feel good about where we're at. But, you know, we're just concentrating on the Ravens right now, and that's really what it is. And look, if you want to forecast the future, I don't know the future, and I'm worried about Sunday.
But what you gave us, even though the key, that's textbook, right? But what you gave us had the feel of something a little more spontaneous and honest, right? Even though
that's
you basically gave him the same message that Key just gave.
Yeah, but I don't want to be honest. I want to fool you.
But he did the same.
Yeah, but I got to get him to fool you, though.
But I'm saying he sounded like he was saying something. But he said basically what you said, but you see what I'm saying?
No, I do.
Yeah, yeah. Do. Julian, that's pretty
You got to draw him in. You got to draw him in. That's the key.
That's what I'm talking about. Julian Love, this is a guy who knows what he's doing.
Except he went to Notre Dame. He's fine. I like him, though.
Great to have high-character guys on the team. It's a high-character team so far this season. You could see that. Continued success. And you better keep winning. That's all I have to tell you, or I'll turn
Continue
on you in
success.
One second. All right, good. Thank you, Julian.
All right, Jay.
Hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Julian Love of my beloved New York Football Giants. I'm not kidding.
I'll
turn on that whole team in one second.
I meant to ask him how difficult was it to go from corner to safety in the league? Because he played corner at Notre Dame, and now he's playing safety. How difficult that is at a young age. Usually you see that, Harry, when they are already done.
Yep.
You know, even 10 years at corner, then they move to safety.
Yeah, but why wait if you get if you have a little extra for the safety position? Do it while you got the juice.
No, I understand it. I just wanted to know how difficult it would have
been. Another guy, Dory Jackson. So I played with him in Tennessee. You know, he played offensive snaps for us in Tennessee as well.
But he did that at SC.
Yes, what I'm saying. He was a dynamic guy, returner, fast, did some offensive stuff, played corner. We drafted him in the first round.
Yeah, but do you know who coached him?
No. Oh, you coached him?
He played on my 7-on-7 team.
Everyone played on your 7-on-7. Not the whole world can play on one 7-on-7 team.
Anybody, put it this way.
But they're paying people before it was legal.
Jim Brown, he played on my 7-on-7 team.
We got to investigate 2K.
You know who. But you know I ain't lying. You know who brought him from St. Louis to L.A.? We did, because he originally from St. Louis. We brought him because of family members. We brought him to L.A., and he went to high school out there and everything, and
good guy.
Like, everybody plays.
Everybody.
But you know the problem is in L.A., the 7-on-7 circuit, right? And if you in L.A., at the time, my 7-on-7, everybody wanted to play for my team because we traveled
the
world.
It's like, you remember the 6 degrees of...
I want to play for you because you Keyshawn Johnson, too, though.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, though.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I know I'm going to get the exposure
the attraction
that I need.
Man, I had DeAnthony Thomas, Shaq Thompson. You know, Shaq Thompson plays in Carolina.
Of course, yeah.
Josh Rosen, Bryce Triggs, my nephew, Michael Thomas. I can go with Darnay Holmes.
Have you ever heard of 6 degrees of separation?
They always happen.
There was a game people came up with called
Michael Pittman,
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, because he was an actor who played in a lot of ensemble casts. You could connect any actors through Kevin Bacon. That's like key. It's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or separation or whatever. Everyone who ever played, Key's on somehow attached to a 7-on-7 team.
If you're from L.A., you're going to be on my 7-on-7
I just think it's smart, though. Like, why wouldn't I want to go with somebody who's
Johnny Unitas. He's on my 7-on-7 team.
When Key was playing, you and Johnny.
Michael Pittman Jr.
Look at this.
Michael Pittman Jr.
He got some people in the NBA playing on his 7 team.
John Wall.
George Gervin. The Iceman. Oh, he was playing on my 7. Key, the years don't even match up.
I think it's dope, though, Key. And you did a great thing, man, invested into those kids.
It was fun, too.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you had fun doing it and investing in them, and they understood where to go to get the exposure that they needed.
Mm-hmm. Coaches,
and getting coached up.
Coaching on 7-on-7 and putting that team together and cutting. Man, our very first tryout, we had 600 kids for 22 spots try out. Now, I'm like college coaches and pros. I already know who's going to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just, I need to take a look at a couple other dudes. But I already knew who was going to make it. I'm like,
how did you cut them? Do you have the whole speech down?
No, I had I had a little staff, a staff of about 10 people. Ex-NFL guys, Chris Claiborne, Brian Kelly and company, Antonio Pierce.
See what I mean? And he's connecting the whole university sports.
We had it right, man. We was beating the brakes off people till we ran into Teddy Bridgewater and Shazier.
Hey, what Teddy did after he scored that touchdown?
Ran a dig on DeAnthony and said, turn up the speed, baby.
He got
it's different down south.
He got dudes in different sports.
They was good.
I mean, it's like Fernando Valenzuela was on my 7-on-7. What's going on? Marvin Hagler. Come on, man. Everybody's on a 7-on-7. Coaching staff, the whole thing.
Look, man.
Ronald Reagan was on my 7-on-7. What? It's not even an athlete.
Well, he not fast
squad,
enough. Squad, though, man.
Ronald Reagan not fast enough.
We had the squad. We had the squad. Sounds that's all like I can it. Tell you. We bombs away. That's what we was doing.
You would be like right, though.
And, you know, you're getting coached up.
That's what I'm saying.
And 7-on-7, the skill position players.
Which is the most important thing, though, man, that these kids are getting coached up the proper way, because there's so many people out here not teaching the right way, Key.
Yeah, no, we coached them up. They knew when I was coming. They used to be like, man, here come Coach Key, because they already knew.
Yep.
We would work the you-know-what out of them. And that's just, it was fun.
Who's the biggest coaching influence on your coaching style? Parcells?
I would say... Yeah, Bill and Coach Robinson, John.
I thought you'd say Kotite, not Rich Kotite.
Stop. All my coaches, though, you take a little bit of something from them.
Yep, right.
And you use a little bit of everything. You know, I took my nephew out of a game one time because he just wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And everybody assumed he's my nephew. I'm going to give him the leeway. Man, I tore into his ass. And he just, you know, but it worked. Later on, because then he can go play for Urban Meyer, you know, which is a tough coach. Then he can go play for Sean Payton, which is a tough coach, because he was already conditioned in his mind that if I'm getting yelled at and screamed at, I'm going to be okay.
Slap box your little brother, beat the hell out of him just so he can take care of himself.
Yeah, squad. Yeah. We done came down to Louisville at Georgia and just...
Say what?
We done came down to Georgia.
And did what?
Went just amok on them.
You got your damn mind.
No, we actually did. We beat some team in Georgia, and we played them in Alabama.
Some team.
Yeah, I don't know who 7-on it was, but we fried ice cream. Just telling you.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive
Josh
Insurance.
Rosen used to be.
Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. Was the
right.
ball where it was supposed to be, Key?
It looked right.
If you ran your route, would Josh Rosen get you the ball right where you were supposed to be?
In high school?
Yeah.
When he was a sophomore? It looked right.
He wasn't running all around. And,
no, you knew. Oh, okay. You knew exactly who was going to the pros.
Things have changed.
For protection on the road and on the water, see how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Two of the best college basketball head coaches will join us to discuss NIL and how conference realignment has changed the landscape of college athletics.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's big time here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning. On ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, we got two big-time coaches with us. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Bob Huggins, West Virginia head coach, and Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, with us this morning. Coaches, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Breakfast was great, wasn't it, Coach Huggins?
It's always a pleasure to be with you two.
Always
a pleasure.
Look at the difference in the demeanor, the different coaching styles. Like, you do a split screen with these two. Scott Drew smiling ear to ear, and Bob Huggins, deadpan.
Well, I mean, he's serious about it.
Yes.
He's already in coaching mode.
That's right.
I already got a lecture in there about don't screw things up. So.
We're going to have to play some defense today. Bob Huggins is in the house. There's no doubt about that. Coach Scott Drew knows what I'm talking about. All right. Guys, Coach, how has the dynamic of the transfer portal changed the approach to the offseason, Coach?
Well, I think both of us have had to adjust with all kinds of different things as the game evolves, changes. With the transfer portal for us, it means that you have a lot more new players. And instead of having two or three new players a year, you might have six or seven. So we've tried to simplify things that we do to make it easier for those coming and going. And, again, I think it's one thing I admire about Coach Huggins, a Hall of Famer. Learned a lot being in the Big 12 with such great coaches before me. But you got to constantly evolve and adjust to what the game turns to and what the new rules are.
Coach Huggins, how has it changed for you, though? Been around for a long time, all the way back to Cincinnati, and things have changed clearly with the portal in high school recruiting, even junior college recruiting to a degree. How has that affected you at West Virginia?
Well, I thought I would hate it, quite frankly, and the portal's been really good for us. We've been able to fill some spots that probably before we wouldn't have been able to fill with experience. Mm-hmm. And the guys that we've had come in have been terrific. I mean, they came in and they want to learn, they want to play, and I've been very pleased with what's gone on with the portal.
Coach Drew, when you look at not only the portal but this whole NIL deal that's going on right now, I mean, mm-hmm. obviously, you know, there's things have happened outside of the NIL before now. Now it's mm-hmm. on, you know, it's above water, so to mm-hmm. speak. Has it helped you in any way in terms of recruiting? Or hurt you anyway in terms of recruiting?
Well, I just want to know if you picked up your NIL check from back in the day yet.
they didn't call it NIL back then, Coach.
Put it this way, Coach. They would have to sell a university.
Again, that's something that you got to constantly evolve. Coach Huggins and I know we agree. We want players to have a chance to earn money off their name, image, and likeness. And whatever the rules will be, we're going to follow and make sure our players get to benefit and take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. How does conference realignment affect, you know, the Big 12 as a whole?
Well, it just gives us a much broader area to recruit in, I think. I think it opens up recruiting areas for us that prior really weren't available to us. I mean, we're used to traveling in the Big 12, so that I don't think that's going to affect anybody or anything. And I think the teams that we're adding are quality teams coming from quality programs. So.
Wait, I got to chime in there. So let's talk Big 12 for a second, all right? So you got back-to-back national championships. It's the first conference to have three different teams play in the national title game. Mm-hmm. 60% of the league has been to the Final Four since 2002. Two Hall of Fame coaches. Last year, our net rating was 33. The next best was 57. Six out of the last 9 years, the Big 12 has been the top conference.
And you've
in
seen
the
it
country.
All at Baylor since before you got there. It was not a winning program.
No, we've gone through the growing pains and going and playing in the best conference in the country. But the Ken Palm analytics show that with the new additions, we'll still have the number one ranked conference. And one thing Coach Huggins shared in our conference meetings, he's been to several other places. And the Big 12 is by far and away the toughest conference he's been in.
I'm really impressed with how hard you studied to remember all that.
Yeah, it took an all-nighter.
Well, I figured it would.
You guys could take this act on the road. I mean, it's a perfect juxtaposition of coaching personality.
So, Coach Drew, you got a nice nucleus of backcourt mates with you, right? Yeah. I mean, your guys can go at the guard position. Yeah. How excited are you to be able to coach them this season?
Well, if you've ever faced Coach Huggins' teams, you better have a lot of guards because they make things real difficult. And guards make coaches look good, so I need a lot of good guards. And we're blessed to have a lot of depth in the backcourt and a lot of guys that get each other better every day in practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's that trio, Coach Huggins, of Kedrian, did I say that right, Johnson?
Kedrian.
Johnson, Emmett Matthews, and Eric Stevenson. What does that bring this year, do you think?
Well, two of the three are hurt. So
so much for that, right?
Brings a lot of ice.
Coach is like, two or three to hurt.
So, you know, it's a little rough for me to tell you what it's going to look like because I haven't seen myself what it's going to look like yet. They're a little banged up. But Emmett was with us for 3 years and then transferred out to Washington and then decided he wanted to come back. So we know what we're going to get from him. Eric's been great in practice. You know, but he's banged up and he's struggling a little bit. We've got two other guys or three other guys standing on the sideline with boots on their feet. So it's been it's been a little different, you know. Mm-hmm. The, you know, the NIL thing, what I like about it is nobody has to borrow my car anymore. They all have their own.
Players parking lot. Suddenly it looks much different, and no one's doing anything wrong.
Actually, it probably looks better than the coaches' parking lot, so to speak. Bob Huggins, West Virginia head coach, and Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, joining us this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, of course. Coach Drew, when you look at the schedule, and everybody's a great opponent no matter who it is, but the one or two teams that you're looking forward to outside of your conference that you're going to face?
Well, in our non-conference schedule, our game versus Gonzaga sold out in 6 minutes. So I know Mount Rushmore is a beautiful place to visit in winter, but obviously it's sold out because that's a really quality game. And I know that'll be a great test for us. And then we have a tournament in Vegas, and you have Virginia, UCLA, Illinois. That's a great tournament to find out where we're at. And the SEC Challenge, we have Arkansas, and the Big East Challenge, we have Marquette. We do play Washington State in a semi Pac-12 Challenge. So we always challenge ourselves in the non-conference. I know Coach Huggins does as well. But really what makes the Big 12 such a special league is you get to play everybody home and away. So by the end of that, you do have a true champion.
Well, thank you both for being here today. Great fun to have you both in studio. Big fan of you guys. Bob Huggins, West Virginia head coach, and Scott Drew, Baylor head coach, here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Hey, if you guys keep having breakfasts like that, we'll come back every day.
They put out a spread for them, apparently.
We're not even aware. They don't give us anything.
No, we starve to death.
Starve to death.
No, it's really good.
Yeah.
Are the Dodgers and Astros hands down the teams to beat, at least in the NL, but first, or the Dodgers in the NL, but first, Key has this word from Dr. Pepper.
Now, a word from our sponsor. No, wait a minute.
What?
Yeah, we might want to
Coming up, coming up, Key will tell you this about Dr. Pepper, but you're going to have to wait for it. We'll be
yes,
right
you're going to have to wait for it.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Ego! Yeah!
God, I hate that song. I hate it.
Oh, I hate it too, because when we used to play them and get waxed, they would get to playing it. But anyway. Oh. But yeah, man, so the read behind the scenes, take them behind the scenes a little bit. So I had this read just now for Dr. Pepper.
Right.
But it had the better help. Health, wellness, that whole deal.
Someone copied and pasted the wrong headline.
It got people thinking, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. That happens, though. A lot of times, you know, we got a lot going on in 4 hours.
Well, listen, when I first joined the show, I really didn't know what the hell I was doing, right? Like, I'm hosting a national show. You guys were already kind of in the swing of things. And they give me reads and sports centers to read. And I have so many papers. Before I got it kind of all organized in my head, I would throw one away when I was done. Can you remember early on I threw the wrong paper away and I had a sports center read. I had to make it up as I went along.
That happens, but it makes us – we had a whole audience standing in here now, and they looking at me like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Yeah,
I'm
in front of Scott Drew and Bob Huggins.
The sometimes, though, is that the way they are written sometimes, it's like some of them are run-on sentences, and you're like, okay, when am I supposed to stop and then start again? It's
no,
funny,
I,
though.
See, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with that at all. I have more of a problem with – when it's wrong. Like it said, Dr. Pepper, And then
so
I got
so
the
you
reading.
Thinking in your mind, like you thinking Dr.
Already,
Pepper in your
I'm
mind.
I'm already
I got
tuned
you.
For Dr. Pepper.
Yep.
I'm like, this doesn't look like a soda drink to me. This looks like something totally different. And then I had the star, and Max looking at me like, Key? I'm like, yeah, we might not want to do this.
How about sometimes I'll get a read, and it'll be like, just on my screen, I'm throwing to you, Key, at the end of the segment to do a read for, I don't know, Granger or one of these sponsors, but really it's Jay who's supposed to be doing it. After Key has this from...
No, yeah, because they... I'll have it in a minute. It becomes one of those deals where they send in so much stuff. They got a lot of stuff to do behind the scenes. So they send some things, copy and paste, don't change it, all of that.
I have a new...
And then they give me a font for my read now that looks like it belongs on a phone. But that's okay. I'll figure out how to read it.
I have a new system, though, with my papers. It's working out well so far. Oh, now you got... Oh, they printed out... Key's going to need a magnifying glass to read that. The man's 50 years old. You think his eyes are what they were when he was drafted first overall? Will you print that on a bigger font, please?
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max live everywhere you are. Download the ESPN app. Tap the More tab on the bottom right. Scroll down and tap Live Radio. ESPN Radio, everywhere you are.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Keyshawn, Jay Willimax, Harry Douglas in for Jay today. Jay is a father for the third time. Congratulations, brother.
Is he? See you in January.
We are joined now by Todd Frazier, ESPN baseball analyst, who had, it was, would you call it, it's not more than a cup of coffee because the Yankees brought you in for a postseason run. You're from the area, from Jersey originally,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
And I guess you were in Cincinnati at first, right?
So I'll give you a rundown. Cincinnati, White Sox, Yankees, Mets, Rangers, Mets, Pirates.
But you played the bulk of your prime with Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, bulk with Cincinnati and then the Mets after
and
that.
Then you were a deadline deal, I guess, with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Did you come straight from Cincinnati to the Yankees? I'm trying to remember.
No,
because
I was with the White Sox.
With the White Sox,
it was
right.
A big deal with David Robertson.
That's right, that's
Tommy
right.
Tommy Canley, yes.
But you was in Cincinnati first?
Cincy first.
That
yeah.
Nasty Natty. I went to Louisville, so I. Yeah.
Todd Frazier, all of them. By the way, Todd was a multiple time All Star at third base.
Absolutely, but that's not the highlight of his career.
What's the highlight of his
career? Tell him, Todd. Tell him the highlight of the career, man. Go on, tell him.
Hey, I got my first jersey I ever bought. I'm a big Buccaneer fan. Keyshawn.
That's the highlight of the career. See? I wasn't a bad guy, right. Max.
Who'd you grow up
rooting for in baseball, Todd?
I grew up a Yankee fan. I was a big Paul O'Neill guy.
Great.
I love players. I would say this. I love Manny Ramirez. I love watching him. But Paul O'Neill, for some reason, man, whenever he would get angry, hit those Gatorade jugs and all that kind of stuff. The passion.
You know what's crazy about Paul O'Neill? And some people, when you watch it, Paul O'Neill was on that Cincinnati Reds team. He wasn't even really good yet. Certain way, Eric Davis, Barry Larkin. But when I watched that game, I was like, that dude might be the best player on the team. When he was on the Yankees, Bernie Williams, Derek Jeter. Mm-hmm. But there was some, like O'Neill, if you watched his career, you say that's a Hall of Famer. He's not going to make the Hall of Fame because the numbers don't add up quite. But he played at that level at his best.
He was extremely consistent, though.
He was a number three hitter on championship teams.
It's like his prowess, the way he stood, the way he went about playing the game, his height. You know, everything comes into play. And he could play, too. I think the thing that kickstarted him was when he kicked that ball home and almost got the guy out. Remember that?
Yeah, in Cincinnati.
That was in Veterans Stadium.
Yeah, that's right.
Against the Phillies. But, Yeah, he could hit the ball to all fields, kind of like a Tony Gwynn, but with a little more power, I would
say. Hit 320, 330 with power, hit third in the lineup, play a gold glove caliber right field, the whole thing. So how are you feeling, having grown up a Yankees fan, an O'Neill fan, about the Yankees and the Guardians after game one?
Simple. We always beat the Indians. It's just the way it goes. I mean,
Indians and Twins, right?
Call a spade a spade, to be honest. You know, I'm happy about what Gerrit Cole did. He came out, he dominated. But the thing that I loved about him most, he didn't throw all his fastballs. He struck out all his guys. Seven out of eight batters were on off-speed pitches. If it's not working, you know, why throw it? So let's try something else. And for him, his curveball was working. I think that the first inning he threw 15 off-speed pitches. That's unheard of for a guy that throws in the upper 90s. And you know what? It's been getting hit at the end of the day. He's been giving up home runs on the fastball. And seeing Anthony Rizzo, who's been playing lights out, and Aaron Judge. You know, I know he had three strikeouts, but at the end of the day, just get on base. Got to third base, put the pressure on the team. It was a boring game, but guess what? In the playoffs, it doesn't matter. You just got to win. So it doesn't matter. Who's going to step up? And Rizzo and Cole did it.
How much pressure is on the Yankees, though? They hadn't been in the World Series since 09? 09, right?
They haven't won one since 09.
Yeah, since 09. Yeah,
got cheated out of it. The year Todd was on the team in 17, they got cheated out of it.
Yeah, they hadn't won one since 09. Yeah. How much pressure is on them?
Oh, big time. Big time. Especially coming into the year, they didn't sign Aaron Judge to that long-term contract that everybody loves. There's going to be a big problem if he doesn't come back. But, there's a lot of pressure. They have all the pieces. They have all the tools. You know, they get through this series, then it's on to the Astros again, most likely. So we'll see at the end of the day, but they have the Yankees number. Are they going to step up and come through this year? We don't know. We'll see what happens.
Not the same when you don't know what's coming, by the way. Now we're going to see what – because in that series in 17, you guys were beating the brakes off them in Yankee Stadium, and they were winning on their last at-bat by one run at home. Considering they were stealing signs, it's pretty clear you probably would have beaten them had they not been cheating.
Yeah.
Slow down, Max.
I agree. Yeah,
you brought up the Astros,
It still pisses him off, he said.
How surprised were you that the Astros actually had that comeback that they did against the Seattle Mariners yesterday? And for me, though, it's more so the why do you pitch to Yordan Alvarez in that situation?
So the thing with Seattle right now, they don't have a closer. It's closer by committee, they call it. So they're just using guys left and right. Now, Robbie Ray is a starter. Yep. I think Scott Service maybe, you know, overthinking at the time. You know, well, listen, hey, we're going to put him in the bullpen. I don't know if you close him at that time. I know it's lefty on lefty. He's been giving up a lot of home runs, too, as well. But you can second-guess everything in the playoffs. So if he got the job done, then we'd be talking about how good of a manager he is, blah, 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 Hall of Fame-ness and all that stuff. But it didn't work. And you're facing one of the most dominant power hitters in the league. Do you want to face him or Alex Bregman next? I don't know. That's why he's managing and I'm not. So it's a tough decision either way.
So right now, outside the Dodgers, who do you have winning it all?
Yeah, that's funny. He's outside the Dodgers because they are unbelievable. I'm going to stick with the Yankees, man. I'm going to stick with them. I think they have a squad to do it. The only reason why I'm a little hesitant because Dusty Baker, I love the guy who's my first ever manager. He is a player's coach and he knows how to manage ball clubs. And Houston Astros and them, I think it will be the Dodgers and the Yankees coming down to it.
To me, that depends on Severino because the bullpen's a mess, right? It was a strength in the first half. Okay, it's a mess right now. And Cole is pitching like an ace right now. Nestor Cortez has been magic all year.
Yeah.
But Sevy has always been, like, when he's healthy, he's Cy Young caliber, top five type dude. Struggled in the playoffs early in his career, started kind of coming around, but then a week ago or so, seven no-hit innings, hitting over 100 on the gun. His start, to me, is pivotal. What do you see from Sevy?
Yeah, I think from playing him, the first time he had his first ever playoff game, if I'm not mistaken, was against the Astros or against the Twins when I was there in 17, and it was a playing game. If we lost, we were leaving. So, and he gave up three runs in the first. He only got one out. And, you know, Girardi said, see you later. So now he's stepping up at the right time. He's throwing the right pitches. And I think not only Severino, but Cortez, this is a big test for him,
nasty,
too.
Nasty, nasty.
He's pitching tomorrow, and he's got to, you know, he's got to come
I feel
up
like there. He's going to be okay. Nestor Cortez gives me the feeling like he's going to be okay under pressure.
I understand, but this is his first go about it. Yeah. Now it's playoff baseball. The regular season's one thing. You guys all know. You played.
Yeah.
Regular season's fun. Now you're playing in the boogie down. You're in the Bronx, you know, that one inning where, all right, we gave up 2-3 runs. What are you going to do after that? And the bullpen, let's not talk about that. That's the biggest key for them. They got these young guys coming in. Let's see what they're going to do. And they're missing a couple pieces.
The road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. Coverage of Phillies and Braves Game 2 starts at 4, followed by Padres and Dodgers Game 2 at 8. Thank you, Todd Frazier. Pleasure.
Always.
Jerry Jones says Dak Prescott will start throwing today and explains what the one thing he needs to see from Dak is. Then Key and Harry Douglas will react to that. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
From your radio to your smart speaker and phone.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
Or watch on ESPN2. Keyshawn, J. Willimax. Live weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.